Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you, the podcast with more celebrities than the inauguration. This is your host, your groove mistress, your cruise director and spiritual advisor, Madam Perry. And so many fun things have been happening, but I want to say, first of all, thanks to everybody who's been subscribing and downloading and sharing with your friends, and also purchasing from my sponsors, because they, and thanks to the sponsors for sponsoring, and also for giving nice discounts to my listeners. That's good too. And just all the fun we've been having. But because you subscribe and because you listen and share, that helps me to continue to get the kind of guests that you've been talking to me about in your reviews on Stitcher, Apple iTunes, and also on the comments that you send me on Facebook or Instagram or other social media, and where you say, how do you get people like this on there? Not go, it's because of you, because you listen, and so you make it a warm, welcoming place for my guests to come, and I am happy about that. By the way, see, last night we had Liana Renee Heber, fascinating, talented woman. I met her about 10 years ago in New York at the Book Expo America, just absolutely fascinating. She was already successful then, but it's been exciting to watch her career grow and grow. And let's see, who have we had on? Oh, lately we had Jeff Carlisi from the Band 38 Special, but he's going to come back. We had some technical problems then, but Jeff said he would like to come back, and so I'll let you know about that. Also, if you were listening tonight, James Milliken was on. He is he wrote the book on Benjamin Orr, who was a musician, songwriter, and co-founder of the band The Cars. And, you know, he gave away a copy of the book. That show is still getting downloads every week. But he gave away a book to a listener, and, of course, musician Frank DeVille Greenville of he plays with the Gap Band and several other groups. He did the drawing for us, made a video, sent it in, and the winner was Rachel Ann Cox in Utah. So he's already sent the book to her. By the way, also people ask me, Jamila Ford, a singer, composer, and podcast host, people ask me about her. Yeah, go to what the name of her podcast is. It's she is in New York. Los Angeles. Jamila Ford is in Los Angeles. You can find her playing in a lot of places around L.A., but also her podcast is called The Working Singer, and she gets advice, and she also has other professionals come in and give advice for singers, everything from technique, performance anxiety, and such, to getting the gig and playing more. So definitely go to The Working Singer and Jamila Ford. It's J-A-M-I-L-A F-O-R-D, and follow her and go see her live. She's just fantastic too. So, you know, I've been telling you, I've had a lot of guests lately who are steampunk things. I do a lot anyway, but lately even more so, because it's coming up to my favorite time of the year, Wild Wild WestCon in March, the steampunk convention with a western slant that takes place in Old Town Tucson. Last night, guest Liana Renee Heber, she's going to be a feature guest there. Costume artist Paige Gardner is going to be there. Doc Stone, Wheeler Stone, is going to be there. And he was on recently, just lots of people and more to come. And tonight is somebody new to Madam Perry Salon, but not new to steampunkers by any means. We're very excited about this. Are you ready? I mean, I've been being hit up about this a lot today. People are excited. And so saying, oh, well, I'm definitely not miss this one. Okay. Now I know what gets you excited. And that would be the tall, dark and handsome Captain Anthony LaGrange, also known as Tony Ballard Smoot. Captain LaGrange, it is an honor to have you here in Madame Perry's salon. Please sit down and be comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
I am delighted ever since I saw you. The steampunk was fairly new to me in a way. James Breen, whom you know, found me on Facebook a few years back and began sending me people. You should have this person on your show. They're in steampunk. I go, okay, and introduced me. Then he kept saying, you should come to Wild Wild West Con. And I finally did 3 years ago. This is my third year going and doing a panel. And it has just opened up just a world of light, especially the first time going and seeing that, you know, there are all kinds of ages. I mean, kinds of ages. There are all ages of people and people from all sorts of places there. And coming from Atlanta, Georgia, I need a lot of diversity to feel comfortable. So, and I hope it becomes even more so there in a few years. But could you tell me, just if you don't mind, I know you've already been asked this a lot, but would you mind going back to in the Wayback Machine and tell me where you came in to this? Where did you enter the world? I know you've done a lot. I know you're very popular. But for any listeners who don't know you yet, where did you enter into the world of steampunk and how?
Oh, that is going way back. It's going back at least a good decade now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my first interaction with steampunk was back in 2008 at an event that we had here in Columbus called Goth Coming, and it was steampunk themed, and a lot of my friends were super excited about it, and I had no idea what steampunk was. So Dragon Con had been about a month before the event, so I went to Dragon Con. And it was like right when steampunk was really taking off. And Abney Park was there and just a bunch of other like steampunk people. And I went and I saw everything and I was just amazed at all the creativity and ingenuity of these people. So I came back from Dragon Con. I made my first steampunk outfit, which looking back on it now was not the greatest. And I went to Goth Coming. And I had so much fun there that I got a couple of friends. I was like, hey, so all these other, like, genres have their groups. Like, I had friends that were in, like, Star Trek groups and Doctor Who groups. So I was like, we should totally start, like, a steampunk group here in Columbus. And they're like, all right. I was like, yeah, like, I think steampunks have, like, airships. We should totally start an airship. And they're like, all right, you're the captain. And that's how I became Captain LaGrange of the Airship Archon.
Wow. And the Captain LaGrange character was also featured in, didn't you make an independent film with John Strangeway?
I did. We made two. It was his steampunk Boba Fett movie, The Mask of Vengeance. I was featured in the first one as a smuggler, where John promptly shoots me in the face. Then in the second one, where I played my twin brother, to where John also shoots me again.
John, that rascally rabbit. has he asked you to do a third? Because I'd be a little leery of that if I were you.
Yeah, yeah. There was talk of a third, and he really, I think, wants me to, like, play my sister, and I'm like, it's not happening, John.
Okay. You know, John was here a couple of years ago on Madame Perry's Salon, and I haven't been able to get him back since. I'm wondering if maybe it was something I said, if I offended him or something, but I can't seem to get him back yet. I'm still trying. But now, listening to this, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't get too close to him. And if he mentions being in a film, you know, listen, I almost got pneumonia working on Stranger Things for an entire week, doing all a week of night shoots at 30 degrees. I don't know if I could take being shot in the face, but then again, it's for the love of the art.
It is for the love of the art.
So, with you at Bat, well, you say that your first costume wasn't all that, but apparently, and I'm going to say this because, and you know, Paige Gardner, when she was on last week, she was talking about she had made a bet with her son about something, and he could go anywhere he want. And he said, I want to go to Dragon Con. And she's, okay. So she takes him, and she said, just seeing all the costumes just awakened something in her. Like, I found my tribe. I found the place I need to be. And have you seen her costumes, too?
Oh, I've known Paige for many, many years, and I love that woman and her costuming. Like, she hates showing her face in her costumes, but, like, everything she makes is all out of, like, upcycled, thrifted materials, and it's always just so glamorous and fantastic. She does amazing work.
Oh, she does. Yeah, now I remember she talked about, yeah, she's crazy about you, too. Yeah, she came up with some magnificent things out of things you wouldn't imagine. You know, you wouldn't come up with, you know, the crayon, the coloring book sheets and stuff. But she said she felt that awakening. And I get the sense that you felt that way, too, once you got there and got in the middle of it, kind of felt like you fit. This is my home.
Yeah, that's why we have, you know, Dragon Con Homecoming and Happy Dragon Con New Year's Eve. It is home for a lot of us. It is our tribe. And going back to Dragon Con is something that we look forward to the moment the last Dragon Con ends. So
yeah. Well, that's the only thing I've been to so far is the Wild West Con. It's my third year. I think it's time I started branching out. I think 2020 is a year I should get out, because I'm meeting so many more people that I truly admire and enjoy, like yourself. Now, were you already, before you had your first visit to Goscoming and Dragon Con, were you already playing Dungeons & Dragons?
I was. I have been playing Dungeons & Dragons for almost 19 years now.
Wow.
Some friends just got me into it, and they were like, hey, I want to teach you how to play this. And I was like, that's like super nerdy. I don't know if I really want to go down that road. And I ended up loving it. So,
isn't it amazing how sometimes we think we know ourselves, especially when we're grown-ups too, what we will and won't like, and they're totally surprised like that. Yeah, because I was – Everybody knows you and knows different things about you. He loves he's Dungeons and Dragons and Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel Comics, anime, dancing, tea. Our dear friend, I know you, Madam Askew, I know you probably know her much longer than me and have shared many cups of tea with her.
We actually met for the first time back at TeslaCon.
Oh, really? Okay, all
uh-huh.
Right. So I'm just catching. Okay, so she and I are kind of catching up together on meeting Captain in person. So Dungeons and Dragons, don't you do? I understand you do a live show of this,
yes,
or a live like James Spring does.
Mm-hmm. I am part of a group known as Open for Adventure, and we do live streams for Fates Chosen, which is the group that I'm a part of, every Monday night. We usually start about 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. I started off as just kind of a guest spot, and I've been here for a while, so I think I'm kind of over the guest and just kind of part of the main crew at this point.
Well, I've got to tell you, I've listened to James Springs a few times, Creative Play and Podcast, and your live stream is called?
It's Open for Adventure, and it is Fates Chosen.
Open for Adventure and Fates Chosen. Okay, I wanted to repeat that for people who listen when they're driving or something, too.
It's twitch.com/openforadventure.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be sharing that on all my social media, too, so that people can find it. What is it about Dungeons & Dragons that first caught you or interested you?
The thing about D&D is escapism at its purest, but it's also being able to explore different roles, different feelings and emotions that you wouldn't normally be able to do in your day-to-day life. And you can do that through role play, through your characters. It allows you to be the truest and freest form of yourself in a safe environment.
Okay, well, I've never heard it described that way before. And I like that. It sounds like a nice escape without having to use something that could be harmful to you. So.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been amazing, like getting to play with these different groups and with these different people. Like, you know, I get to flex the acting muscles and improv. And nowadays, they're actually using D&D in prisons and in therapy as well to get people to explore those, you know, those emotions and those feelings that they wouldn't normally feel comfortable doing. So it's become more of a worldwide phenomenon ever since the fifth edition was released.
Oh, I did not know about that. That's kind of fascinating. I just read in the New York Times recently about I believe it's in Rikers, where they have a coffee shop and a lot of the inmates are training as baristas and work have a coffee shop in there. And but something too like Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, that totally fits now. That sounds like a far more, you know, I believe you should, you know, just not just incarcerate, but you know, give people something different to learn or rehabilitate. And I'm speaking those not as one who's been in prison, but I've had a lot of family and friends there. So, yeah, I like that idea. That's much better. You mentioned, too, about learning about role-playing and such. I know you've worked in films with you know, John and other people. Tell me about some of your work as an actor in the films. You know, I know we've already talked about the film, but a bit more about it, about creating characters and working on film. Do you enjoy it, or why or why not, and would you want to do more?
Do enjoy it, and I would definitely like to do more. I have not done as much film work as I would like. I've done a couple of web TV shows straight to YouTube. I've done a couple of straight to Redbox films, and of course movies with John. I've done some stage work here and there. I was on a Rocky Horror cast for about 5 years. I love stage work. I love being up in front of people and performing. It is one of the most exhilarating rushes that you can get, and it's just so satisfying.
And you're a dance. I understand you're quite a good dancer and enjoy it. So, Rocky Horror, that had to be fun.
Oh, Rocky Horror, being on the Fishnet Mafia was an amazing time. Just getting out there and having fun, interacting with the audience, doing all of the callbacks and celebrating a cult classic. There was no place I would rather be on a Saturday night at midnight than surrounded by friends, you know, throwing toast up in the air and shouting obscenities.
I know. Oh, I know it well. And it's so much fun. So, you know, last night when you called, and I'm so glad you did, when you called in and to say hello to Liana Renee Heber, you know, I said that picture of you that I posted on Instagram and here and all of other places where you're in costume, Anthony LaGrange, look like you're coming to somebody's rescue. I can tell you're not running from somebody. You're running to something to solve it and handle the situation. And I said, I just love that. That makes such a great poster, or you probably already have it as a poster. But I said, that would make such a good poster. And I'd like to take it to the TV studios when I'm there again. But you know what? Right now, I think I've lost Captain LaGrange. Maybe he did go have to rescue and help somebody else. It's possible. He's a busy man. He does a lot of... Probably a lot of damsels in distress being rescued for him. So right now, I'm going to take just a minute and talk to you about Daisy Bella. And while I wait for the captain to rescue someone and come back, Daisy Bella is a wonderful company, a fashion designer. The owner has been working in fashion for over 20 years. But this company has got quite a lot going for it in terms of the clothes. They're very comfortable, 100% heirloom cotton, tees, hoodies, jewelry, so cute, beautiful colors, gorgeous designs, but even more, they all have positive messages because they say every woman is perfect. You know, I worked on this TV show recently, some of you may have heard, called Divorce Court with Judge Lynn Toler. And Lynn Toler told someone, a woman had a problem because she said, my husband's always, or my boyfriend's always talking about my body, saying I'm fat. And she told him, you should never tell a woman that anything is wrong with her body. Nobody should tell a woman that her body is not just right and not perfect. And Daisy Bella, I believe they have that attitude as well. Their mission is to have fun, spirited fashion that inspires confidence in women of all shapes and sizes with positive, uplifting messages and images. They believe that often we become what we see, and they are committed to transforming the world of fashion with positive messages, inspiring women from the outside in. Yeah, I believe the more what you hear and what you see seeps into your consciousness. If all you see or hear is negativity, that's what you're going to get, and that's a shame. But you know what? Daisy Bella is not just comfy clothes with positive messages. They really do pay that feeling forward in their actions. So every time you make a purchase from Daisy Bella, part of their proceeds will be donated to the Daisy Bella Women in Need Program, or called the DB Women in Need Program. They support local charities that help women and children rebuild their lives, organizations that provide safe housing, critical services, and programming for women and children. And they've done this, the organizations have done this for more than three decades, and Daisy Bella is happy to donate to them. And guess what? Not only would every purchase you make help these groups and help women and children in need to rebuild their lives, but Daisy Bella to give you a discount too. If you're listening to Madame Perry Salon, go to Daisy-Bella, DAISY-BELLA.com. And when you get ready to check out, the code is thank you 20, just thank you and the number 20 on that, and you'll get a 20% discount. That's very nice. Okay, so I like that. All right, well, the dashing, handsome captain has come back here. He has handled what needed to be handled, I'm sure. Captain LaGrange.
Sorry about that. Airship flew through a dead zone.
Oh, whoa, okay. Yeah, I guess that's just part of the it comes with the air territory. You know, like I was saying earlier, I said that gorgeous picture that I love that I've been posting where you're with Captain LaGrange jumping over, it's like jumping over a stairwell or something. I said, it's obvious you're not running from something, you're running to something to handle it. Charge of situation, and I just love that. I don't know if you've had it made into a poster, but I think you should. I think you could sell those. And I said, I definitely asked you last night. I didn't want to be pushy, but I said, I definitely want to take one of those pictures the next time I'm at Tyler Perry or at a Metro Atlanta studios or somewhere and go, you know, there's this man.
Oh, I would love that. And I'm always running towards adventure, so.
Running toward adventure, I know you can see it. You can see you're there. You're ready. You're equipped. Whatever has to be done, there's going to be a triage quickly and a beat down if needed, separation, whatever. Whatever has to be done from the airship to keep peace in the air or in the universe or the steam universe. One thing, too, I wanted to ask you about, you like urban fantasy novels. And lately, someone told me about a year or two ago that introduced me. Actually, it's Rebecca McFarlane Kyle. She's a top reviewer on Amazon, and she used to be one of the judges of the Amazon Breakout Novel Award when they had it. But I remember 2 years ago, and you seem to me like you've got a pretty wide range of interest in your books and so forth, or movies. But Rebecca McFarlane Kyle said to me, she said, I've got some friends that I'd really like for you to meet and have on the podcast, authors in the genre of Afrofuturism. So I just kept thinking, okay, why? You know, I think I see a lot, I read a lot. Why is this something that's got going? I'm sure you're familiar with the field and some of the authors, like Milton Davis.
Me and Milton are very familiar with each other. We've sat on quite a few panels together.
Oh, good. Okay, even better. So he's been on here. And I think when I had him on, it was just before the movie Black Panther came out, that he was on there with me. And, I mean, on Madame Perry Salon. I would like to see, and like I said, I know I've only been to one steampunk convention, but I see a lot of things, and I watch a lot. And as I said, coming from Atlanta, whenever I go someplace that's away from home and I have a good time, I always, the first thing I look around to see is, would all of my friends and all of my family feel comfortable here? Would they feel like they see themselves or feel comfortable? And that's why I was hoping that there would be more racial diversity growing in the steampunk world. Would you want to comment on that, or what you see, or what you think
yeah.
could to change it? Or are there some groups that I don't know about that I should be visiting?
There is a little more diversity in the steampunk community than there used to be. I know there's groups out there like the Airship Ashanti, which are doing some amazing cosplay and costume and steampunk outfits. But as one of the prominent people of color in the community for quite some time, there was not a lot of people out there. Like, that was part of the reason why I tried to be out there so much, so that people would have other people of color out there in the community to know that it was a safe place and a safe community to go to. I know we also had like Eileen the Peacemaker who was out there, and I know Milton was doing some of the Afropunk, but as far as diversity, steampunk did not really adopt a lot of people of color to the community, and I don't know if that is because of lack of interest or because they didn't feel welcome.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to know, because I said, now, my best friend Kenya, I know that sometimes James Breen would call, before he ever taught me into it, he would call my show, and if Kenya was with me or co-hosting that night on the air, he would invite us both to go. And, but of course, I know she's busy and didn't go, but it's like everything we do, you know, I just want to know, you know, would she be comfortable, or actually her grandchildren, who she has given to me, along with her kids when she's mad at them. You know, I always want to know if they're with me. You know, because her grandchildren call me abuela, you know, abuela, Spanish grandmother. And every time I go, I want to make sure, would they see themselves? So whenever I would see someone of color, like last year, especially a young person, I'd make sure to have pictures so I could take back. So if I could ever, so if I want to take the girls with me one weekend, you know, I know they'll go anywhere I say go, you know, because they know, you know, they're kids. They know I'm going to spend money on them and have a good time. But I want to make sure that they feel like they're represented and feel their place.
Oh, I agree 100%. I've been a costumer for a long time, and I've noticed that the cosplay community has been mostly pretty welcoming to people of color, especially the anime community. Growing up in the anime community myself, it was one of the few places amongst the African-American community as well, that you were really accepted, because everybody liked Dragon Ball Z. Everybody liked Naruto. And it was just one of those things that everybody could bond over. So when I would go to conventions like OhioCon, Otakon, DragonCon, all of those, like, you were always welcomed. You were always one of those people. And you're going to have your internet trolls out there who are going to be like, oh, you're black, you shouldn't cosplay this character because they're not black. And that has been greatly squashed over the last decade. And you see so many more, you know, cosplays from people of color, people with disabilities, just everybody is out there doing what they love. And we're squashing the haters and the trolls, and everybody is out there doing what they love, which is what it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be, because it's supposed to be, that's the feeling I get, that they want to be, you know, encompassing and sharing. And I've been working with one of the granddaughters, Nyla, on her steampunk costume. I would take, you know, I want to take her, but there's but there is one thing that holds me back. She's only 12, and I don't want her to be alone in a room, but I don't want her to sleep with me because I snore, you know. So she doesn't deserve that. So right now that's the only thing holding me back from sharing a room with her, unless the child has some good earplugs. Most kids do have earbuds. I was reading an interesting blog called Silver Goggles, and in it, this was back in 2012. I don't know if you remember this.
I do remember that interview.
Oh, okay. I like the question that the blog mistress asked. She said, the growth of steampunk means a proliferation of different styles, such as Wild West, Neo-Victorian, airship pirate, etc. And we know you are an airship captain. Says, do you have a particular steampunk style you indulge in most? Do you remember what your answer was?
Ooh, I don't.
He says, I have to say the Weird West is probably the style I wear the most.
Yeah, that still holds fairly true.
You know,
it's always been something I've been drawn to.
Because Captain LaGrange began as a U.S. Marshal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us about it. Captain, we want to know.
Captain LaGrange's backstory was... Oh, go ahead.
You fans want to know. No, I said your old fans that are Legion know, but your new fans want to know. We want to hear it from you.
So Captain LaGrange's backstory was that he was a U.S. Marshal that was kicked out of the Marshals for having a love affair with the deputy director's wife. And then after he left the Marshals, yeah, I know. I mean, the danger, the pretty.
I can't blame her. But anyway, go ahead.
So after he left the Marshals, he did a short stint in the Pinkerton Detective Agency. After, you know, gaining some new skills, making some new contacts in the Pinkertons, he decided to strike out on his own. He used the money that he had saved up to buy his airship, which he named the Archon, gathered a crew, and became privateers. So they are a American group of Wild West privateers.
Wow. Very impressive. All right. Very nice. And I want to know if you can tell us, because, you know, the schedule has just come out. Have you gotten yours yet for the Wild West Con?
I have been at work all day. I have not had a chance to check my email.
Okay, well, it just came through. I just came through Messenger on Facebook here about just before we went on the air, so I haven't been able to look at it very well. So for people who have yet to get there, tell us what we can expect from you and your panels or presentations.
Well, if I got everything that I think I did, I will have a panel on the history of the Pinkerton Detective Agency, which is a fascinating, fascinating history of Alan Pinkerton and the organization that he grew, which is still around to this day, the world's first private detective agency. I will probably also be doing talks on African Americans in the Wild West. They were very prominent, and there's a lot of historical figures that were actually whitewashed that were based on African Americans in the Wild West. The most famous being Bass Reeves, aka the original Lone Ranger.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll be doing a talk on that, and then I'll be talking about one of my favorite subjects, tea and tea culture, everything from black tea to rooibos, and you know, how you can get started, how to select the right tea for you, brew times, steep times, the difference between the different, you know, the different blends, all of those wonderful things. And I believe.
No.
Oh, I was going to say, and
you,
I think
Captain.
I'm also helping Senior Strangeway with his panel on personas with, I believe, Paige Gardner.
Ooh. Okay, well, I just hope that mine is not at the same time as that, because I got to be there. I got to be front row center for that. That's going to be like the all-star panel right there. So I would have just had to be very nice and beg somebody to let me let me change. That's going to be good. See, I saw a few out here on the schedule. You're not doing the one on custom underbust corset patterning. Are you going to help?
No. I am more than happy to come and help. I am a professional corseteer. I've been selling and lacing corsets for about 10 years, so I am happy to go and help.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. If if you were to, and maybe you have plans to, make another movie, independent film, have you got plans for one yet? Or do you, surely you think of what you would do or what you would like to do, a theme of, maybe based on a book or game.
Actually, I was talking with some friends, and I would like to do a modern retelling of Edgar Allan Poe's A Cask of Amontillado.
Really?
Yes, that has
okay.
been one of my favorite stories since middle school, and I would love to do a modern retelling of that.
That would be fantastic. And so let's go a little further, because I believe you put some thought into this. Kind of pull the camera back a little bit. Give me a little bit more than the TV guide blurb. How do you see, where do you see it set, and who else do you see in it with you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, no. I haven't gotten super far into it. It's just an idea I've been bouncing with some friends. But kind of just taking notes from a lot of the Shakespearean modern adaptations. Everything from some of my favorites, like the Leonardo DiCaprio, Romeo and Juliet, to 10 Things I Hate About You, to Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing. I think A Cask of Amontillado could be a truly good modern adaptation in kind of a large, big city atmosphere. Kind of,
uh-huh.
I don't know, maybe like a New York or London setting. So that's about as far as I've gotten with it now. And I would love to bring in just as many friends as I could. Of course, get John in there. Maybe he's the one who gets killed this time, or, you know, boarded up behind a wall. And then just bring in a lot of the other talent that I know. So.
All right. Well, yeah, sweet. Well, speaking of tea, now you maybe want some tea. I need to tell the people about a new podcast called The Inspiring Show. And while I do that, it won't take long, but while I do that, would you mind checking on the kettle for me?
Of course not.
All right. Thank you.
Right,
and bring me what. All right. Bring me back whatever you think looks delicious.
Will do.
All right. Okay. You know, just like with as I was saying earlier, often what we see and hear affects us a lot, sometimes more than we think, whether it's somebody honking in traffic or things that people say, what you hear on the radio. Everything makes you can affect you one way or the other as far as your mood and your feelings. But you know what? I know that a lot of people enjoy podcasts because they can listen to podcasts anytime they want while they're working. I listen to them while I'm cleaning house or when I'm running, or people that, okay, I don't really run. But people that run, so they like to listen to podcasts while they're running. Other friends and I like to listen to them in the car. And I found a new podcast, and it's actually new. It's not that I've just found it, but it is new. It's called The Inspiring Show. It's hosted and produced by Paul and Jennifer Hensel. And they provide interviews with inspiring thought leaders, storytellers, entrepreneurs, influencers, and legacy builders just like you. They have motivating stories and strategies about overcoming adversity, achieving astounding accomplishments, and going on amazing adventures. You can learn from experts because they know a lot of experts that they've met in their business. They teach you about finding your voice, mastering your mindset, and creating movements within your message. You can tap into timeless wisdom and get tools for transcending to new levels of success, happiness, and joy. And let me tell you, once you go over there to their website, it's called Inspired Influences. Now, it's an audio podcast, but it's also on YouTube, so it's a video podcast too. So go over there to their website is Inspired Influencers. And, of course, I'll be sharing that, and I have been on all my social media, but as Madam Perry and also as Jennifer Perry. It's husband and wife, Jennifer Hensel and Paul Hensel. And Jennifer's specialty is teaching you how to monetize your message. She's an award-winning leader and influence strategist. And Paul is an expert storyteller. He tells stories on TV, radio, and TEDx. So get over there to InspiredInfluencers.com and find the inspiring show and be inspired. Now, I tell you what, I know that I'm going to be inspired when the dashing Captain Anthony LaGrange, not only will I be inspired, I know that I will be envied when he brings me a cup of tea.
Indeed. So the tea that I have selected is my own blend. It is LaGrange Gray that is made by the wonderful people over at Dryad Teas, and it is a fruity vanilla Earl Grey.
Oh, sounds heavenly. I can't wait to taste it. Is it, let me see if it's temperature is not too hot to drink just yet. Your own blend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when this man says he's in the tea, he's in the tea. He's got his own. All right, delicious, and it's called
nothing but the best.
And that's the way to go, and that's the way I like it. Uh huh. So, and your blend is called LaGrange
Gray, available via Dryad Teas.
Dryad Teas. And of course, I'm sure you'll give me the all of the proper social media and ways for people can look for it and buy it so I can share it on all of my social media. The handles.
Oh, of course.
Now, what outside, we've only got a few minutes left. Or, by the way, if you happen to be listening live tonight, I need to say this. If you're listening live tonight, February 19th, 2020, 8:44 p.m., GMT minus 5, if you want to talk to Captain LaGrange, the number is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. And you could call, or for people who can't call, I've been here. I don't know about you, Captain. Maybe you've got a job where you can't make a phone call out or someplace where you got to be quiet. Some people just go ahead and message in their questions or comments, and you can do that, too, on Facebook through Madam Perry Salon or through Jennifer Maudette Perry. And so that's if you want to talk live. So what do you have coming up that you want us to know about, other places that you're going to be? And also, I can't let you get away from us before we know how to find you on all of your social media. But first of all, yes, you've got a Tumblr page, and it's Captain LaGrange, CaptainLaGrange, .tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be sharing that and all your others. But tell me what you've got coming up on your schedule, because I don't see how you work day job in the regular people world and you make costumes. Oh, yeah, let me go back to the costuming. Did you already know how to sew and make costumes? Because, and I ask that because my husband was the oldest of four kids, but he has three younger sisters, so he learned to sew so he could make things for them and help them if something needed to be fixed. I don't know how, but he does. So did you already know? Did you have to learn?
I learned my basic sewing skills when I was in middle school, one of those home ec deals that actually kind of stuck. My sewing skills are not super good. I have some amazing and talented friends that help me out. My specialty is in modification and in props. So if I need something really complicated, I will either go to my friends over at KMK Designs. They have helped me out a lot. Or to one of my local friends and cosplay partners, Veggie Nikita, who made most recently, did an amazing job on my Dragon Age Grey Warden.
Oh. Okay, so, and you know, I noticed, I don't know where you get, I'm sure you've got your stores where they know you when you walk in, when you buy materials to make props with. So when you first began the making costumes, because you are, you're a model, cosplayer, costumer, you said the first costume you made, you felt was a little less than impressive. But what was the first one that you really felt good about or excited about?
Oh, the first costume, it's probably still one of my favorites, is Kakashi Hatake from the anime Naruto. And to this day, it is still one of my absolute favorite cosplays that I've ever put together. I debuted it in Otakon so many years ago, and I still wear pieces of it. Like, I still wear my Jonin vest and, like, whip out the headband every now and then if I'm walking around an anime con. But to this day, that is still probably my absolute favorite costume.
What did you like best about it, and what was the hardest part to put together?
What I liked best about it was just bringing that character to life, because it was a character that I really loved from that anime series, and just being able to do a good, accurate representation of it was just the best thing for me. And my favorite part about it was actually my grandmother helped me with parts of that costume. She helped me with some of the harder sewing parts on it. And, like, getting to work with her together on that was just a fantastic time.
Ah, that sounds fantastic indeed. Wow, okay. So I'm sure she enjoys telling people about that, too. That is wonderful, yeah. That'll always have to be another special part of that costume.
Yeah.
You know, you can just keep on talking because I'm enjoying my LaGrange gray tea. So, I can just sit here and sip tea while you just talk to everybody. I know you're also a speaker. When you talk to groups, what are the main things that you give? Or what are some of your favorite things to give speeches about or facilitate panels?
Some of my favorite things to talk on. Lately, I've been doing a lot of talks on trying to just, spread the good word of Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing in general. I also really enjoy doing my talks on men's fashion, just trying to get people to dress better, to look better, to feel more confident in the things that they're wearing in their everyday life. I love going on about how every person, male, female, in between, should have a well-tailored black suit because it looks fantastic on everyone.
And in the words of the late comedian Tim Smith, he's talking about being dressed to go out with his wife. He said, felt good because I looked good, and looked good because I felt good.
Indeed.
And I think ZZ Top song, Every Gal's Crazy About a Best, About a Sharp Dressed Man. But you know, everybody, male and female, when you dress with confidence, you dress well, you dress with confidence. I think people always seem to carry themselves, they will carry themselves differently. And
indeed,
it shows.
I know it does. It definitely shows. Like, you put somebody in jeans and a t-shirt and they'll still be a little slumped, but you put somebody in a well-tailored suit and you can't help but feel good.
That's true. That's true. It makes a big deal. Makes a big difference. And who knows? Who knows how that could make a shift in the world? What other some of your favorite themes?
I love talking about diversity, especially diversity in nerd and geekdom. Just expanding out. Just, you know, adding more people of color, adding more trans, more LGBTQ+, just everybody needs representation and everybody deserves representation. And it's very important. I know growing up and watching like the old 80s cartoons and everybody is, you know, white male, and it's boring. Mm. You don't feel like you belong in any of those worlds. And nowadays we've got, you know, movies like Black Panther, we've got, you know, all the Marvel films, and DC's getting more diverse, and TV shows and comics, and like there is something out there for everyone, and it is an amazing time to be a geek because there is something out there that represent you, to show you that you are part of the world and that you are cared about and that, you know, you do exist in this time.
Yeah, exactly. You want to see, or as a friend of mine says, I want to see me in these pictures. I want to see somebody that looks like me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's my reality. Where's me? Where can I identify? And, I like seeing it too. All kinds, racially, trans, just culturally, when last week, when I was trying, of course, after, as you can imagine, after talking to Paige Gardner and then trying to think about definitely upgrading my costumes for Wild West, I started watching, I got on YouTube, started watching fashion shows. I'm just putting New York Fashion Week and was looking for some of the out there people like Jean-Paul Gaultier or Terry Mugler that would have some more exotic costumes so I could get some ideas about, you know, being a bit more creative. But I noticed in a lot of the ones, 2020, there were a couple of designers I would see, and they would have models that would be pound model, or they had models who were larger and maybe didn't wear a size zero. Maybe they wore 12, 14, 16, That's not just ladies, but also the gentlemen. And then models with vitiligo, models that just looked different. And I thought, now this is good. This is exciting. This is what may kind of make people draw them in and say, oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's not just for other people. I'm here too. And, of course, the Jean-Paul Gaultier, I'm sure you've seen, you know, some of his shows and works are, he just had all kinds of people there. It looked like it's just any of his friends, you know. He just, yeah, come on, you can wear something and walk down the runway. And there were celebs and non-celebs, but just people of all different looks. And I thought it just gave such a joyous to me, not just creative, but a joyous creative energy to it.
And I love being able to, you know, feel that outward expression. It is so, like, we live in such an exciting time right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I had a comment from Pat in Missouri, and she says, listening and loving this show, and I can't wait to learn more about Captain LaGrange and definitely get some tea. All right, Pat, I'll be sharing where to get the tea. Thank you very much for a comment. And you will be giving me that information, right? I can't
give
these people.
Of course.
Okay. All right. So we'll share it. Thank you so much. You've just been so generous with your time tonight, and I cannot wait to meet up with people I've seen before, people that I've never gotten to see, and I can't wait to meet you in person. I think it's going to be a great weekend. What other events or conventions do you have between now and the end of the year? Between now and the next 6 months, we can write them all down.
Yeah, I've got Wild Wild West Con, of course. I may be making an appearance at C2E2. I'm working out the details for that right now. I will be at Origins Game Fair here in Columbus.
Whoa. C2E2?
I'm going to try to make it to C2E2. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. No, I've got a good friend. He's an animator that's going there, and he was saying, oh, this year all my favorite people, all my friends are not going to be there. You know, so I don't know if I can make it, but if I know you're going to be there. All right. Yeah, that's cool. That's in Chicago, right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Sorry to interrupt. Go on.
Oh, no. I'll be at Origins Game Fair here in Columbus. I will be at Gen Con and Indianapolis, and then, of course, Dragon Con and Tesla Con.
All right. And Dragon Con, you know, that's in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You should stop on by.
So, I stop on by. Who said stop on by? Was that Bobby Womack? Anyway, stop on by. I will. And I should be able to bring my girls with me. All there, I'll just say, look, it's right here in town. They can't get any closer than this. We got to get dressed up and go. By the way, James Breen says he'd love to call, but he's out running errands right now, still getting stuff ready for Wild West. And thank you, James. But he said he's looking forward to it. Glad you're going to be there. And, yeah, also, Becky Kahn, we were talking about her earlier. She's just texted in on Facebook through Jennifer Mott at Perry Page saying, wow, this sounds great. Can't wait to learn more about you, Captain. Okay, and so you shall, Becky Kyle, and so you shall learn more about him, because I'll be sharing all of his social media and all of my social media. So wherever you are, because this man is he's wanted. He's wanted in several places, so in several events. So you'll have a chance. Thank you again, as I was saying, for being so very generous with your time. I really do appreciate it. And I know all your fans do, too. And any parting words or any words for anybody that's going to Wild Wild West Con?
Thanks for having me, and I look forward to seeing everybody at Wild Wild West Con. If you see me on the street, make sure you come up and say hi. Also, check for when I get to ride John Strange Way down the middle of the street for losing our weight loss bet.
Happy kids,